Welcome to another gathering of the Gold Key Adventurers Society. Have a seat by the fire as we prepare to help you unlock the secrets of the travel life. From theme park thrills to Purple Mountain's majesty, we want to see it all and do it all, and we want to help you do the same. We all have those bucket list trips, once-in-a-lifetime destinations that we'll get to someday. We're here to help you make your travel dreams a reality. Buy the ticket, take the trip. Where do you want to go?
Come on, come on, come on. Now tell me what's on your bucket list. Okay, hey, okay, hey. It's a beautiful day. Okay, hey, okay, hey. It's a beautiful day.
Welcome back to another meeting of the Gold Key Adventurer Society. My name is Dan Leonard.
Hi, Dan.
And joining me this week in the studio is Heather Strait.
Hello.
And Mr. Jeff Williams.
Hey there. Hi there. Ho there. Sorry I blew your hi, Dan. I was reading my notes.
We'll fix the timing in post. Or not.
It's funnier for me just to screw it up.
We'll leave the uncomfortable silence for everybody to experience together.
Yes. It was so good.
The uncomfortable silence like people have when they're listening to this show.
Oof. Ouch.
It's like we've only done this like 200 times or so. Well, our show, as always, is brought to you by Key to the World Travel. Key to the World Travel is a full-service travel agency specializing in theme parks, cruising, and destinations around the world. Head to www.keytotheworldtravel.com for more details and a no-obligation quote on the vacation of a lifetime.
Around the world, around the world.
Damn it, Jeff. We gotta pay for the licensing.
Not if I just sing that little bit.
You're getting dangerously close. We got like 10 seconds, right?
That was 2 seconds.
Luckily,
tops.
I sing out of tune and off key, so they'll never know. They claim no copyright.
We'll call it a parody.
Yes.
Fair use. Well, if you spend any time at all hanging out with the Gold Key Adventurers,
we're sorry.
Yeah. But you also know that we've got a lot of opinions about the best places to eat and drink around the Walt Disney World Resort.
So many opinions.
And today we're going to ignore all of those opinions because we're talking about restaurants, but we're not going to talk about food and beverage at all.
Oh, that's tough, Dan.
I know. It's kind of the whole reason for those restaurants to exist. Instead, what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to rate some of the best and maybe some of the worst eateries on Disney property based solely on their decor and their atmosphere.
I have opinions. Some of them might be unpopular. Mm. But
yeah, mine too.
Yeah, here we are.
To a few of mine. Yeah, the atmosphere of a restaurant is almost as important as the food that they serve. If the vibes are off, the meal's going to suck. And then when you add in Disney's, you know, they've themed the heck out of everything and they write background stories for every bathroom and snack stand and resort hotel that they've got. So they really do a pretty good job on the atmosphere at most of the places. And it can kind of elevate you.
Mostly.
Do they?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
There's some that could use a little tweaking, but we'll get there. So we're just going to do this kind of like a, we're going to go around the virtual table and talk about our nominations for restaurants with the best atmosphere around Disney property. And then at the end, we'll share some spots to get dishonorable mention.
I have 5 bests and 5 worsts.
I didn't get quite that detailed, but I've got,
wow,
I've got opinions on lots of places.
I have like 10 of each.
Oh.
Perfect. All right, well, Heather, how about we go with one of your best?
I bet we have some overlap.
Yeah, there
probably are some
overlaps.
I prepared for that quite a bit. Heather, why don't you start us off with one of your best
One of my best atmospheres.
Yes.
Citrico's at the Grand Floridian Resort post-refurb.
Yeah. Make sure you specify.
Yeah.
For anybody thinking, what the hell are you talking about? If you haven't been since COVID and the reopen, then...
Yeah, pre-COVID, the food and beverage there has always been spectacular.
Always.
Before they redid the whole joint, it was looking rough. It was stuck in the 90s. Lots of that beautiful hunter green and maroon weird patterns. It was not good.
It looked like a car lot in 1995.
It did. But they gutted the whole place, and now it is gorgeous. Slightly Mary Poppins themed, but it's not an in-your-face kind of Mary Poppins at
not
all.
Not cartoony. Elegant, British-looking, feminine, but not too much. Really good.
Absolutely gorgeous in there now, and it's really great views out over the resort, and you can even watch the fireworks from in there. They've redone the whole thing. The bar is new, all the soft goods, all the tables, chairs, updated the menu a little bit. It's one of my favorite places for a nice, elegant evening meal.
And the service, as always, is impeccable, which helps with the ambiance there, because they don't overdo it with talking to you. They're not playing tricks on you and doing wacky skits and bullshit like that. They're just really good servers that know what they're doing.
And the Mary Poppins stuff is so subtle. There's a private room for private dinners. It's like the wine room. And in the window, there's Mary's carpet bag and her umbrella. And then there's things like some of the patterns on the chairs are kind of vaguely carpet baggy. I don't know how to put that, you know.
And her little her outfit when she's dancing with Bert in the cartoon world, the bustier tie up front, the back of all of the chairs have that lacing on them, like the front of her dress. It's really cool.
The light fixtures look vaguely like upturned umbrellas, which is kind of cool. And there's little birds and things on the light fixtures all over in there. It's very pretty. Great place to grab a drink, too.
Absolutely. The drink menu was great. The first time I've ever eaten there at all was post-refurb when we were there during our monorail pub crawl episode back in August. And
were we there that night?
Yeah.
That pub crawl was so successful, I forgot it.
Yeah. We had an excellent dinner, and it was definitely it struck me that it was elegant and beautiful, but it didn't feel uptight at all.
No, not at all.
Very relaxing. It's just a nice place to sit and be in without being the way I feel about the Grand Floridian in general. You know?
Not stuffy at all. No, it's not like Victoria and Albert's next door where you have to be wearing a jacket. Yeah.
Right.
You have to do what?
Be wearing a jacket.
Oh.
Victoria and Albert's is jacket on and Sitchikos is jacket off.
Yeah, I've always
preferred jacket optional.
Ah, let's go with that.
We're funny.
So funny. Ourselves.
Jeff, what's on your list?
Are we doing all restaurants? I had one that is, I love the vibe in there, but it's really just a bar.
Nope, I have lounges on mine. Good. Yeah.
So I love the Abracadabra Lounge on the boardwalk just outside of Epcot. I absolutely love the vibe in there. Speaking of subtle, it's called Abracadabra because it's magician themed, but it's not over the top. There's not up close magic guys in your face. I kind of wish there were.
I mean, I wish there was.
They have beautifully lit display cases of old magic tricks and mannequins and the whole
magic
thing
paintings.
Looks like, magic painting. And the whole thing is just kind of a nod to classic, I'd say, vaudeville era magician. Mm-hmm.
I still wish they had done some cool things with the drinks, made the drinks a little bit more magic-y, something glowing or smoking or, something like that.
They kind of started going that direction, then backed off of it.
Yeah.
It has a feel of, it's like the backstage bar where the magicians would be hanging out.
Yes.
It's not a place where they go to perform magic, but it's their hangout.
You can almost always get in there. It's never empty, but it's never fully crowded where you can't squeeze in. And the way the seating areas are, they're like little, rather than tables and chairs, it's banquettes and conversation setup, so like little coffee tables and that. So I always wind up talking to other people when I'm in there, and I've met some really fun people when I've been in there. There's two tables right at the front and then a nice bar you can sit at. But then the rest of it is just lounge area. And I guess that used to be just the waiting room for the, whatever, the Trattoria Al Forno next door. They turned it into
I don't really remember what was in there.
A great place to catch a drink while the crowd disperses when you leave Epcot and you don't want to get on the Skyliner yet.
And it's a good spot there between Trattoria and Flying Fish if you're waiting for a reservation to grab a drink.
Yes.
I love the lighting and everything in there. It's all gold hues and velvet. And it's just really pretty in there. Chill vibe.
So when I was putting together my list, I was thinking about kind of along the lines of my rule for what I like to eat when I'm vacation. I don't like to, if I can get it at home, I'm not going to order it or eat there when I'm on vacation. Also, these aren't necessarily super fancy spots that I picked up, but places where the atmosphere does something I can't experience anywhere near where I am. So yeah. I love, there's several of these, and they're not going to wow you on the menu necessarily, and I'll start with the Sci-Fi Dine-In.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a sucker. I'm a sucker for any place where you go inside during at daytime and you go through the door and you're
outside
at night.
Suddenly it's night and outdoors.
And the atmosphere there and the attention to detail where you walk past where the set changes and you can see it looks like backstage in a theater kind of on those sets, and then you walk in to the outdoors and there's even a snack stand and the picnic tables and the car. And I just love the atmosphere of sitting there.
That is a huge favorite of my oldest son. He loves eating in the cars, watching the old crappy sci-fi movies up on the big screen that they've never changed the reel, but they're so great.
I do wish they'd refresh that.
Yeah, maybe make it a little bit longer so that you don't see it four times during a meal.
Yeah, now that with all the Disney Plus stuff, they could just turn that into a retro ad for Disney Plus, essentially.
Back in the day when they were still doing Star Wars weekends, they had a Star Wars character meal in there that was fantastic. They had really wacky, not just the main characters. They had the Cantina band walking around, and they changed everything up on the screen was from the original Star Wars movies. It was one of my favorite dining experiences at Walt Disney World ever, and I miss it.
I absolutely love that too, Dan. And I had that on my list, and I debated it, and I wound up taking it off because I don't like the seating arrangements if you're more than two people. Because I don't like there. You can't.
Everybody's
talk
behind
at all
you
in there. Yeah, you're sitting in single file, like in a weird rows. I don't love that, but I do love the whole vibe. And like on my list still is the sort of opposite, similar thing with the German one.
Biergarten.
I was about to say Old Heidelberg, but that's a place in Alabama.
Well, let's talk about that one next because that was on my list also. So Biergarten does the same thing to you, right?
Absolutely. I love any faux outdoor, indoor area. It's like, you know, like I'm always blown away when you're in the quote outdoor sections of Pirates of the Caribbean. Same thing. Like, whoa, it looks like I'm outside, but I'm inside or inside.
Right.
Just the whole thing that you're inside a building, but it looks like you're outside. And I love the vibe of it in there. It's loud. It's obnoxious. You sit with strangers sometimes, but that is the fun of it. It's like a German beer hall, and I'm here for it. And I love German food. It's not for everybody, for sure, but give me sausages and bread and stuff.
You're
I'm
saying
here
not
for.
Everybody likes warm potato salad?
Yeah, I love it. Oh, I love that stuff with the hot bacon dressing. Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
Outside, inside, the one on my list from that is the San Angel Inn in Mexico. The one inside the pyramid. It's cool in there. Yeah. But it's the same sort of thing. It feels like you're sitting out on a patio in front of a volcano, but you're in a building.
Gorgeous back there.
My favorite is to glance into that on my way into La Cava del Tequila.
There you go.
That's cool over there, but I'm going to go in here.
I'm going to go in here.
But yeah, that's that indoors and you go outdoors at night, you get the sounds of the water and the boats floating.
Yeah, even
by
the sound effects, you get little like crickets and the whole little outdoorsy faux stuff. I love it.
We're still talking about best ambiance.
Yeah, let's stay positive until the end.
You're not going to be shocked that a lot of mine are the higher end establishments. Next on my list is Topolino's. Topolino's Terrace.
Hey, that's on mine
too. The top of Riviera. Yep. Yes, that restaurant is gorgeous. And the views from up there, you're looking out over the resort and it looks like you're looking out at the rooftops of Paris. You can see some of the fireworks from up there. You can see Epcot from up there. And they've done a great job with the ambiance in that restaurant. It's just beautiful.
Pour hot oil onto the peasants from the
Yes, that's true. The outdoor terrace has a little bar out there. And when it's a nice night, sitting out there having a drink is great.
That's my only downside to that place is I wish they had done more with that terrace.
With outside,
it's like a weird... Yeah, like a temporary pop-up bar. I don't know. They should have done a little more out there, I think. But I love the name of the place. And the food is great.
And the view of watching the Skyliners cars float over the lake there at night. It's so pretty. Great place. Great little bar in there. And if you can't get a reservation for dinner, you can always go in and sit in the lounge and have the full menu, which is fantastic. And it doesn't feel... The lounge area is nice and open and doesn't feel like you're just shoved in at a bar.
It's big. Really great. A lot of the bars or lounge areas in a lot of their higher end restaurants is just like a little bitty bar, and if you're not sitting at the bar, there's no there's no seats and all. But this has ample seating around the bar. Yeah. They did a great job with that.
Very similar. I also have Toledo at the top of the Grandestino Tower on my list.
I have literally Toledo/ Topolino.
Yeah, it's a similar vibe. That one, the ambiance in that one is even better because it, again, you sort of feel like you're indoors, outdoors, not quite, but they've got all those trees down the middle.
Right. Yeah, and that beautiful stained glass lit from above ceiling in there. Mm-hmm. It's so gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. It's And again, they have a really nice lounge right outside. Mm-hmm. And the Dahlia
is great.
Nice.
Great ambiance in there, too.
And that place is open pretty late for a Disney hotel thing. It's open until 12:30, I think. So
and there's seating outside on the terrace next to Dahlia, which is when it's nice. You can look out. You're looking out over Hollywood Studios, so you can see if they have any fireworks going on there. You can see the back of Star Wars Town USA from there, which is great.
And their food is awesome. They have the best charcuterie board on property there.
Oh, yeah.
Again, for an experience, especially since it's the closest thing to an experience that's now gone, and you mentioned Star Wars Town USA, I like the Docking Bay 7, in Galaxy's Edge.
Galaxy's Edge, that is a good one.
Again, it's another one of those. It's just, the food... There's hits and misses on the menu, but we're not talking about the food, just the spot where I can go in and hang out in a dirty space station hangar bar and, sit on weird cargo crates. Mm-hmm. There's several of the booths that are kind of in these little alcove areas where you can have a little moment where it feels like you're going to shoot off Greedo's head or something. And it's just one of those successful areas.
Living your Star Wars
dream. Yeah. Right. If it weren't for the annoying guests who don't want to live their dream the way I do, it would be the perfect immersion into the world of Star Wars. So I put that on my list of places that I love.
Well, agree to disagree.
Again, we're not talking food.
I feel like the theming is lacking. Like, other than the weird names, which now they've changed, it feels like I'm sitting in that backstage place at Hollywood Studios that's over there by the old Star Wars ride. It's just like food court
That's fine.
To the stars. Yeah. The food actually is good, though.
We can do a whole other episode about why Galaxy's Edge is far underrated.
Yes. I think we've touched on it.
Yeah, I'd rather be over there at the, what's the bar? What am I drawing a blank? Oga's.
Oga's Cantina. Oga's?
Yeah.
Yes.
That should be three times as big as it is and have food. But that's another discussion for
another. The ambiance in there is great when they have not shoved every living human being they can fit in there at any one time.
Yeah. Why they made that place so little and some stuff so big, I'll never understand.
It's a ton of fun, and I love the ambiance in there. That is Star Wars to me, but so often when I'm in there, you can't move. You're at a stand-up table with 27,000 other people, and that part irritates me. It's been much better lately. We had an experience where there were seven of us.
We had my family and Heather's family.
They sit us at this table, and we were like, great, this is the first time we've ever got one of these booths.
And we kind of barely fit there.
And then the server comes up and says, oh, you need to scoot over. We've got to get another family at this table.
Four more people.
What are you talking about?
11 people at a booth fit for seven or eight.
It was not comfortable at all.
I want to love Oga's, and my first experience there was great, but every time I've been back, and it's mostly because of the overcrowding.
Yeah.
A, they've dumbed down the menu some, and B, but we're not talking about menu. the wait staff and the bartenders weren't playing along with
when they do, it's fantastic. Right. Yeah. When they do, it's great.
When they do, it's great. But they have not been lately, and it's a real big disappointment. It's kind of like the way,
my best experience there was when Jeff and I did the Star Cruiser. May it rest in peace. We had so much fun in there that day because the wait staff got in on they saw that we were on the Star Cruiser, that we were in there on a mission, and they played it up, and we had a ton of fun.
Yeah, they were awesome. They were like, this guy needs secret information over here, and yelling and drawing attention to the whole thing. And that's what that place should be. And I don't know what the proprietor there needs to get their poop in a group at that place, because it's really kind of gone downhill. It's so cool looking, and the robot DJ is awesome, and the drinks are good. It looks awesome in there, but the overcrowding and the just total lack of playing along is
We also really had irksome. A few good experiences in there. It was not long after the COVID reopening. They were trying to keep the number of people down to a minimum. And so they were staying open for 1 to 2 hours past park close. And you could grab post park close reservation and be in there. And then it was spectacular. So fun.
I never got to do that.
Few people.
That was my first experience.
Yes.
It was amazing.
And the staff was playing along then. They were really getting into it because it wasn't overcrowded. They weren't trying to serve so many people all at once. They could focus on your group. And it was, again, perfect Star Wars immersion in there. And then you got to walk out when the whole park was closed and you're by yourself in Galaxy's Edge. It was pretty spectacular. And that's just not something you can get anymore.
Wouldn't you think that Oga's selling alcohol makes more money than a merchandise shop?
I would guess. It's not cheap, especially if you're...
I mean, I just don't know why they have just get rid of one of the two stores or three stores that sell all the same stuff and make that place much larger. Mm-hmm. I do not get why they made it.
They sell some expensive souvenir mugs and stuff in there too.
If you wanted it to look like it does, so that it looked like the one from the movies, essentially, make two of them or three of them. So when you get let in, you don't know which of the three identical bars you're in. And then they can even still do that out the back.
Just like the Millennium Falcon.
Exactly.
They could expend
the same exact. Yeah. And it doesn't need to rotate or be anything complicated. You're just going to this room.
Yep.
Well, here's what they've got. They've got that giant tunnel space where the Star Cruiser guests used to come in, right?
Yeah.
Oh, good point.
Right now, all they're using that for is check-in for the photo memory magic moment, whatever that special photo package is. Expand the cantina over there.
Yeah, or put a second Club 33 over there.
Or take the Star Cruiser and make fantastic Star Wars themed dining and lounges in there.
The bar inside of there was also too small, but great.
Yeah, that would have been on my ambiance list, but it does not exist anymore.
While we're on a tangent, which is really odd for us, did you see that they're taking two of the drinks from the Star Cruiser and they're putting them in Oga's? At Disneyland?
At Disneyland, yes.
Oh, which drinks?
The Mustafarian fire one, right?
The one
fiery
in the
Mustafarian.
Orb. Oh, yeah. Fiery Mustafarian. They added the heat to it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the Silver Sea Martini.
Yeah, that was like a purple.
Yeah, and they're serving the martini in the glass that the Dagobah Vimlet was in. The
We have several of those.
Because they got a warehouse full of that crap they got to get rid of.
Right, yeah. But only at Disneyland, because Walt
of
Disney
course. Why?
World
Why?
Can't have nice things, I guess.
Yeah, remove it from the people that loved it in Florida and then send the drinks somewhere else. That's Disney just keeps on winning, don't they?
Yep.
Well, anyway, do we have any more positives? Do we have places?
That... I do. I have another one.
Go ahead.
This one might be on your list too. Geyser Point at the Wilderness Lodge.
I love the vibe there.
Out there on the lake, it's covered. There's fans. I love that place so much.
I have one called Trader Sam's.
Oh, what?
Oh, yeah.
It's all vibes all the time. I love that vibe. And a lot of people don't know this about me, but I am a bit of a tiki aficionado.
Huh.
Weird.
This is new information.
Never would have guessed.
If you can deal with the line or the comeback 2 hours later or whatever and get inside that place,
it's worth fantastic. It. It really
the patio is also great, except for it's the only place on Disney property that I consistently get mosquito bites. Outside on that patio for whatever reason. But the inside also, there is awesome with the music, and they play along just enough that it's not super annoying, but good servers, amazing drinks, good food. It's just my 100% favorite.
Love it. Love it there. I also had a few lounges, and this one I'm being specific about a specific area, Enchanted Rose, also at the Grand Floridian, in the library area.
It's a little quieter.
It's quieter in there. I put the Enchanted Rose, the other room, on my worst ambiance list because it's so loud. There's no soft furnishings in there.
That room that used to be the gentleman's pants store or whatever it was.
Pants and
was
belts off and haberdashery.
So the main room has the bar and it's fine, but that side room is an echo chamber and it is
terrible.
Awful.
But the library with all
to the left
of
the
so
main
beautiful
thing
in there.
Great.
Yeah. Love the ambiance there. I could sit there and have fancy champagne cocktails for
it's
hours.
It's full of soft chairs and couches and like conversation
lots of heavy
areas
draperies.
Versus
Is it because it reminds you of being at your home office?
Yes.
It does have the same exact cabinetry.
Yes.
I forgot about
that. That is true.
I'm looking at it right now.
It's possible that maybe where I got some of the color choices for my office. I don't know.
Another kind of off the beaten path one that I love is Enzo's Hideaway, which is sort of in a hidden tunnel-y thing down below.
A little bit of a speakeasy.
This is a two-parter. So it's down below Maria and Enzo's, which I ate at one time, and the food was pretty good at Maria and Enzo's, but it's like eating in an airport or something. Like it's very big and cavernous and loud. But the Enzo's Hideaway is everything that isn't. It's the whole conceit of that is that it was a secret restaurant built in the tunnels under Disney Springs there. I don't know.
Yeah, like it's a speakeasy.
But it's super cool looking. The food there is amazing. And all of the servers
really good.
Are genuine Italians. And it's just a great vibe in there. It's kind of quiet and it's I don't know, just a cool vibe. And if you ask where the restroom is, you have to leave that and go in this other tunnel where you come out in my next favorite one, which is the Edison. I love
the vibe in the Edison.
Inside of the Edison. It's like the 1920s/steampunk/future. Like, it's so cool in there. And the whole thing is like it was in the utility works for Disney Springs Old Town City or whatever. But they've got modern jukebox people that are playing like the fun oldie times version of modern hits. They have entertainment starting at 10. Awesome drinks. I love that place. It's
live,
a little bit loud.
Jazz.
But other than that, it's super fun.
Yeah. It's really creative. I like how you're going to find things there that you can't
And a pro tip when you're done at Maria and Enzo's, leave and go to the bathroom and go in the back door to Edison and avoid that $10 cover charge, my friend.
There you go. Genius. That's what the people are coming to this show for.
That's right.
Tips like that.
We all have to go to the bathroom together down this tunnel.
At the same time.
You're just sharing a bathroom with the downstairs part of the Edison. Yeah. But we've sat at all the different areas of the Edison.
There's so many bars.
Where you can see the stage. There's multiple bars. Little upstairs corner bar is great. There's two bars downstairs. I love that vibe.
The inside of Jock Lindsay's.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Where you're actually surrounded by the story and the way it feels like it's an old place that is alive and you're just one of the regulars there. I love that. That kind of look, that feel to it.
Mm-hmm. I like sitting in the diving bell. They've got a little booth for four or so, maybe
that
six.
That one's always
tops.
Fun.
It's inside of a diving bell. It's just great. But even if you didn't know anything about the sort of Indiana Jones lore there, it's so well themed with the retro airplane stuff and just really cool vibe. Yeah. I wish they ever used, they always have they have a skipper or a Jungle Cruise boat that is their balcony, but they never use it anymore. It's always cool stuff.
Yeah, that'd be a really cool place to sit. That looks awesome. And that takes me to the other place that I had on my list, but that one also comes with a caveat at the Skipper Canteen, but I don't want to sit in the main room. I've never sat in the main dining room there, but it looks a little cafeteria-like, and seems really noisy and not as pleasant. But if you can get into the back room,
the library,
the SEA members lounge area, it's nice there. It's got the fun nods to story. Mm-hmm. It also depends on your wait staff. Some of the skippers are a little bit better at doing the shtick than others.
I will say that main area is supposed to look like a cafeteria for the skippers. So that is kind of part of the vibe.
Which is fine. That's just not what I want. Yeah.
But the other those back rooms are
who
much
likes
better.
The docking station over in Star Wars.
Yeah, but it's a little bit different. It's I could explain, but it's not worth it. You're gonna give me shit either way. I'm gonna take crap either way. So
yeah, let's just take it, Dan.
You know us so well. No, Skipper Canteen was the last one I had on my list too for positives. Oh, I had one more. California Grill.
That is the last one on my list too.
It's just gorgeous at every level.
Yes. Just pretty.
I love that you have to take a special elevator that only goes to there. And when it opens, ding, you're just there at the hostess stand.
With that beautiful wall of wine behind
them.
Wall
of wine. I don't even like wine, but it's so pretty. And a beautiful bar. Great lounge area for while you wait. And I just love it. And then, of course, the fireworks from inside. And there's
and
a huge
out.
Balcony to go outside on either side of the restaurant. And look, it's at the very top of the Contemporary. It is perfection. I love it.
Love it.
Not sure what the vibe is. I guess California, but it's, I don't know.
It's just pretty.
They
have pretty furnishings, beautiful light fixtures. Yeah. The bar is great. You can sit up there at the bar and watch them rolling the sushi. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. You got another highlight, Dan?
No, that's all the highlights on my list that I could come up with.
You ready to jump right into the crappy?
Dishonorable mention? All right, let's go to dishonorable mention. And I want to start with one first that might get, it's going to get a little bit of outrage, but you have to remember we're not talking about the food here.
Okay.
I hate Steakhouse 70.
Oh my gosh, that's the number two on my list.
It is just this sterile white room. Mm-hmm. There's no soft goods. It feels like a hospital cafeteria or something.
Agree.
It's not a nice place to sit. The food is phenomenal.
Yep. And this doesn't apply. Usually good.
Yep.
Yeah, this doesn't apply to the lounge.
I love
the lounge.
The lounge
is perfectly fine.
The lounge is beautiful
like
and mid-century themed.
One of our favorite bars on property.
Yeah.
But then you move over into the restaurant and they did nothing with it. Nothing.
Yeah, it sucks.
Well, they didn't close long enough. The wave closed and this thing opened like a month literally later.
Well, and they really didn't do much. It looks like it looked when it was the wave. They just changed out some of the furniture a little bit.
Such a hodgepodge of ideas going on there. Now that back room is cool. Some of the individual pieces and artwork in there, but the furniture is terrible. The tables are too close together.
It's not a relaxing dining experience.
I still go there because the food is good and it's easy to get in the reservation. But
I actually love to eat breakfast there because the breakfast food is phenomenal and I can overlook it. But dinner, I'm not really interested in eating there for dinner because of the ambiance.
Right. All the food is great, but sitting in there feels like sitting in the food court at one of the value.
And I can get that spectacular burger in the lounge at the bar.
Now, they have a couple of these round booths. If you sit at that, for some reason, it's a lot better. But everything else just feels like you're out. Yeah, food court, like you're just in the middle of this. There's nothing to section anything off. Yeah. I don't know.
It
feels like a cafeteria, sort of.
I'll sit at the bar and order that burger with the pork belly on it.
So speaking of just zero vibe, Chef Mickey.
Oh, this is number one on my list.
This is literally like you're eating at MCO in the food court.
Right. And not out on display.
It is awful. Like that whole sitting in the middle of an open atrium style like that. And then it's that god-awful music.
Dated.
Every time the characters
come
through. The menu is like you're eating at an old country buffet in the middle of a crowded airport.
Yes.
With people looking up at you from above. Yep. Like,
right.
Ugh. That
Not
place
good.
Sucks on every level.
Yes. It reminds me a lot of Goofy's Kitchen out at Disneyland, which has a terrible ambiance.
Yeah.
Gross
Goofy's
vibe.
Kitchen is better than Chef
Mickey's. But better than
it
Chef
is.
Mickey's.
It is, because there's a roof.
It's and it's its own enclosed area.
Yeah.
It's not open to, like, we just saw not too long ago a picture of somebody like walking by and Pluto turned away from the guests that were inside and like peeked over the wall, and it's like you're just on display. It's weird.
Yeah, they hate it.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got another one?
For me, you guys covered my number one and two, and we talked about Enchanted Rose, the other room that I don't like.
Uh-huh.
The next one I had is Garden Grill.
Yes.
It needs to be redone.
Yes.
I mean, the shtick of the revolving restaurant is not doing it for
me. I've eaten there before when it turned so slowly. I never even got to the part where you can look into the ride I like.
Yeah.
Well, here's the problem too, though, because I really love the idea of that, but there's nothing to see unless you walk over to the railing. You can see the top of the house and you can see the top of the tree. Other than that, it's crowded and it's dark and it's just not.
And if you're seated on that inner circle top level, you never see anything except the 1980s furnishings.
Yeah.
It's not good.
That's an awful one. It's on my list. Also, I call this the same restaurant because I confuse which is which. T-Rex and Rainforest Cafe.
Oh, yeah.
Just
if you don't have little kids, and even if you do have little kids.
Even if you do. We were waiting for a table one time at T-Rex, and we went there because Wyatt was a kid, and he wanted to have like their version of Build-A-Bear thing.
Mm-hmm.
So while we were waiting, we did the Build-A-Bear and then just canceled our reservation and left. Like, this is awful. It's so loud and so terrible. And T-Rex is the same thing, just loud.
Sadly, terrible. A lot of these on my list are the character experiences. The next one I had is Hollywood and Vine.
Dine.
Yeah,
that's on mine too.
It's, again, it's like a dated cafeteria buffet. Oh. The character experience is great. They change it out seasonally, but the ambiance in the restaurant is not
The food
good.
Is even pretty good. Yeah. Like, as far as buffets go, I've never had an issue with the food, but it is.
And it's attached to
no
one
vibe
that's
happening in there.
Pretty decent vibe. The 50s Primetime is pretty good. Like, I don't hate the ambiance in that one, but Hollywood and Vine,
Yeah.
And it could be cool because I like a retro diner.
Me too. Mm-hmm. They didn't lean into anything enough. It just looks like a cafeteria.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It needed to be just a little bit more.
Just a little bit more, and it could be great. Yeah.
And the last one on my do not go to list that has surprisingly great food, and if you can sit on the balcony, it's pretty good, but Planet Hollywood, just...
Okay.
Absolute poop show inside of there.
The last one on my list might be a crowd favorite. I don't know, but it's Be Our Guest for me.
It's just loud.
It's too loud. Yeah. The Rose Room is sort of cool, but it's still just concrete floors and loud. No, don't love it. Mm-mm.
And it's like, I get that a ballroom is big and they needed to make a big space to fit all the people that were going to be there, but it's like, it's too big.
It is too big.
So you've got all of these tables.
It doesn't feel like a ballroom. It feels like a cafeteria.
A wedding at a barn or something. I don't know.
Right. Yes.
It feels like you're at a wedding, big wedding and, kind of thing.
And those spaces are, you know, essentially backstage. You're walking through a facade. So just like we said with Oga's, there's no reason why they couldn't have made two ballrooms that were two-thirds of the size, make them a little bit more comfortable and pleasant to sit in, and get the same or more people in there without having to make it so big and cavernous.
Yes.
The one thing I really like about and this is going off on a weird tangent, but this is talking about the wide open space. In the new Disney ship, the Wish, they took those humongous main dining rooms and split them into a bunch of small restaurants. Mm-hmm. And it works so much better.
So much
better. Quieter and so much nicer. The best example of that is the Walt Disney and the Roy or whatever.
Yes.
1923 or whatever those things are called.
Yep.
They did a great job with that by splitting the whole restaurant into two. And then even those sections are sectioned off. So everybody's sitting in a little bit more intimate space and there's sound dampening and it's so much nicer.
Yeah. Intimate. That's what you want. You want to feel like it's just you and your party. You don't want to be
in this cool theme. You don't want to be we're in a Kmart.
That's another reason why it wasn't on my list, but Ohana, the same thing where it's like, I understand why they decided the most efficient way to bring those giant platters out and serve everybody was put everybody at one giant long table. That's the length of the room, but it just sucks for that intimate feeling. It really sucks the atmosphere out.
Yeah. They need some sweeping redesigns of a lot of the restaurants that are older there.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah.
Well, I think that might be a part of a lot of the problem is they were designed for crowds in 1984 or whatever, and now they're trying to figure out how to retrofit them, make them work to 2024 crowd. Well,
and tastes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
And it just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. They were built at a time when people loved Chuck E. Cheese and showbiz and that sort of just big, loud themed thing. And that's just not what people like anymore.
So unexpectedly, I wasn't planning to come here, but we've come back to kind of this theme that we've had a lot of times when we've talked about the Walt Disney World Resort is like more so than Disneyland actually is they've sat back on their laurels too long.
Yeah. Yes.
And they haven't continued to evolve and stay ahead of things.
I'm hoping maybe the competition coming down the road when Epic opens, which we keep seeing absolutely mind-blowing stuff that's coming for Epic. And just what this week, all the announcements about Isle of Berk, it looks incredible.
Yeah. Right. I would hope that though would have an effect, but what, like, so Universal showed us Burke, and then the same day Disney showed us a bus with a rat on it.
Yeah. We've got new wraps on our old buses.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. But you get a free water park visit only the day you check in, so that's good.
Or like it leaks that Universal is testing a drone show for Epic Universe, and then 2 weeks later, Disney announces that they're doing a drone show at Disney Springs just for a few months.
Like, we have that too. And
we're catching up. Mm-hmm. Stop catching
it's
up.
Time,
stay ahead
it's
of things.
It's time to start focusing on Imagineering again. It just really is.
Hopefully that's happening because I see they got Joe Rohde.
Joe Rohde's back.
Teach some master classes to a new wave of Imagineers. So hopefully. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, obviously his space hotel that he was working on isn't going to be happening anytime soon. Nope. So he decided to come back to the mouse.
Oh, but I'm here for it. If he can pass on some of that knowledge and creativity to a new class of Imagineers, they need it. They just really do. Because we all know they can do extraordinary things when they put the effort in.
Yes.
And it's time.
They need to throw money at things. Mm-hmm. And they just keep not doing it.
Beyond Big Thunder needs to come out of Blue Sky and into actual building soon. Sooner rather than later.
Yeah, get some shovels in the ground.
Yeah, 100%.
They keep on telling these things they want to do, but they're not,
not
digging any dirt.
We've said all this nay. We are naysayers sometimes. But even the places that don't have my favorite ambiance, so many of those places are even still good to eat. Just not great with ambiance, but still really good food and good experiences and all that. But
it's true.
Yeah, there are very few. I mean, there's a few places that I don't need to eat at again.
You'll never catch Jeff Williams and Chef Mickey's. I can promise you that.
They still owe me for a crown.
Yeah, that's true. Uh-oh.
I broke a tooth on a bolt.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That
was in his food. Incident. Yeah.
Yeah.
That happened.
Distressing. What did that bolt come out of?
And it was the handle to
a serving dish.
On the buffet, they have all those serving dishes, and it was the bolt that held the lid or the handle to the lid or something. It was one of those rivets that goes in, and the rivet had gotten hot, and the bolt came out, and it was in my eggs, and I broke it. Mm-hmm.
Did someone at least lift it up, and it hilariously fell apart in their hands? And
nope.
You didn't even get the comic payoff on that?
I didn't get to see the hilarious part. I got to see the part where they were like, we don't really care.
They didn't really care.
Yeah, that...
Mm-mm. Sad.
But generally, worst case scenario, I probably would still eat there again. Chew lightly.
Yeah. Right.
It might not be my favorite, but there's nothing really wrong with it.
It's still better than Applebee's.
100%. Yeah.
If only because you're not at home when
correct.
You're there.
That's right.
That means you're at Walt Disney World.
When you're there, your family. Oh, also that new Italian place at Disney Springs. It's basically Olive Garden.
Terralina.
No vibe. Yeah, that's it.
Ooh, that's unfortunate. Nobody wants to be Olive Garden.
Heck no.
Olive Garden doesn't even want to be Olive Garden.
All right. Well, thanks for hanging out with us again this week.
No problem, Dan. Oh, yeah, you meant the audience.
Yeah, well, you too. It's always nice to hang out with you, Jeff Williams. But if you're ready to eat in some of the most beautiful, interesting, or exciting spots around Walt Disney World Resort...
I am.
Well, good news. Key to the World Travel has the Beer Garden Dining Room full of expert travel planners. And they're ready to make your vacation dreams a reality. Head to www.keytotheworldtravel.com to get started with a no-obligation quote. Word of mouth is the best way to help us grow our show. If you have a friend or two who you think would appreciate our special brand of globe-trotting jackassery, tell them what makes our show so great and send them our way. You can find links to subscribe to the show on your favorite apps and all the latest Gold Key Adventure updates at www.goldkeyadventurers.com. We can't wait to hang out with you again, and we'll see you real soon.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you for the pleasure of your time.
To ask a question or share your travel story, you can reach us by smoke signal, carrier pigeon, or send an email to goldkeyadventurers@gmail.com. And make sure you follow the Gold Key Adventure Society on Facebook and Instagram. A huge thanks to our sponsor, Key to the World Travel. For all your travel planning needs, visit www.keytotheworldtravel.com for a free quote and help planning the trip of a lifetime. Tell them the Gold Key Adventurers sent you. That's www.keytotheworldtravel.com. Key to the World Travel, your key to a magical vacation. Thanks to Outer Vibe for the use of their song Hoka Hey for the intro and outro of our show.
Find them on Facebook at The Outer Vibe or check out www.outervibe.com for tour dates, music, merch, and more. We'll see you next week for another meeting of the Gold Key Adventurers Society. And until then, remember, life is short and the world is wide, so go have an adventure.